A massive second period leads the Edmonton Oilers to a massive 6-3 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. What went well? How is the defense doing? And the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. All that and much more in today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to go through that 6-3 victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Also on today's episode, we're going to be tearing out the Edmonton Oilers defensemen so far this season over the 6-game homestand. And to wrap it all up, we will go through the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Let's get into the 6-3 victory for the Oilers last night as a massive second period propels the Oilers over the Penguins. Despite going down 3-1 in the game, the Oilers did score the first goal, but only a couple minutes later, the Edmonton Oilers gave up the equalizer, and then a minute 45 later, well, the Pittsburgh Penguins took the lead, and felt like the same story. It almost did. And then again, in the second period, to start the second period, only 2 minutes into the second period, Brian Rust bounces it off of Jack Campbell, and it looked like, we're right back to square one again for the Oilers. But again, that second period was massive for the Edmonton Oilers. Outshot the Pittsburgh Penguins 26-4. Breaking a franchise record in shots in a single period, and the most shots in a single period, previously held 24 shots for the Edmonton Oilers. That was the previous record, now 26. It wasn't a great first period. Let's be real. Leon Draisaitl said after the game, and again, the reason why I say it seems like the same story is that the Edmonton Oilers haven't strung together a 60-minute hockey game. It's been 40 minutes at least in each of the Edmonton Oilers games so far. And on top of it, in that first period, yes, this second period was dominated by the Oilers, 26-4 in shots. But the first period, the Edmonton Oilers allowed 19 shots on goal, 19-9 outshot by the Pittsburgh Penguins in that first period. Not the start the Edmonton Oilers wanted. Yes, they had a bunch of penalties in the first period, including a double minor from Darnell Nurse, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. That allowed, or didn't allow, I guess, would probably be the better term, the Edmonton Oilers to get into a flow. And again, that is the same story that we have gotten over the 6 games so far. The Edmonton Oilers, for one reason or another, a goal against in the first 5 minutes, a bunch of penalties, whatever that may be, the Edmonton Oilers have not really been able to get into a flow of game, other than maybe the Carolina Hurricanes game, maybe. But still, even that game was a high-scoring game and didn't a power play specialist or a special teams type game as well. Maybe even the St. Louis Blues game too. But still, the Edmonton Oilers were still down in that game early too. So, you know, it's the Edmonton Oilers need to figure out these full games. It's 60 minutes. And the Edmonton Oilers haven't done that so far. 32 saves for Jack Campbell in between the pipes as he faced 35. Again, 19 in that first period, and then a 16 spread out through the second and the third. The big thing for the Edmonton Oilers, I feel, however, were the takeaways. The Edmonton Oilers took the puck away from the Pittsburgh Penguins 20 times last night. more than those eight that the Penguins had against the Oilers. And I don't want to say told the story for the Oilers, but that told the story on how the Edmonton Oilers really forechecked. They were always on the defenseman for the Penguins, didn't give them much time to really breathe with the puck, forced a turnover here and there, and really started the cycle. I'm looking at the third line of Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Jesse Puljujärvi, or Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Derek Ryan. As Derek Ryan got the assist on the goal that put the game away with less or just over 3 minutes to go in the game, Derek Ryan also had a pretty solid game in that bottom six. In fact, in that third period, it was entirely, almost entirely, that bottom six. Well, it's technically a bottom five, I guess, with the Edmonton Oilers running an 11-7. But it was primarily that bottom five who ran the pace for the Oilers. Cycle below the goal line for face-off dots, I should say, for the Edmonton Oilers. Hard forechecks, hard back checks, great transitions, which led to that sixth goal for the Edmonton Oilers in the third for Ryan McLeod. Speaking of his third, that takes him to three goals total in the season and ties him for third on the team in goals with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl. He said he wanted to work on scoring more. Everybody said it's going to be a breakout year for McLeod, and he keeps doing it. And he had a great game, too. That goal was a massive reward for him. Also, Evan Bouchard's best game of the season. He looked fantastic. Six shots on goal after looking tentative in the first five games of the season with the puck. Fantastic outlet pass to Hyman. Physical all game. Again, six shots for him. He was fantastic. He was really good in his own end, too. All game, Evan Bouchard was fantastic. Let's get into the points a little bit before we wrap it up here. Leon Draisaitl, excuse me, scoring a beautiful goal. Just a beautiful goal to wrap up the second period, just to put a nice little bow on that big period for the Oilers. Two assists as well for Draisaitl, as his points are massive. The thing about Leon Draisaitl in that game, too, is after Connor McDavid went into the post and was injured for a little bit, that was when he really stepped up and proved he needed to be the guy. That line of Evander Kane, Leon Draisaitl, and Kyler Yamamoto, after the adjustment for Connor McDavid, ran the game for the Oilers. And then McDavid went out with Nugent-Hopkins and Hyman. And Nugent-Hopkins goes and finds the game-winning goal. That's important. Again, we talked about how many times the Edmonton Oilers have that flexibility to go and do that, and that's what won them the game there. As mentioned, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with the game-winning goal as well. Big, big goal for him, also getting an assist in that one. The Edmonton Oilers improved to 3-3 on the season, 31-3-1. They are now, since the start of 2021, after scoring the first goal of the game, 31-3-1. That is insane. Also an insane little stat here. The Edmonton Oilers are 6-24-0 when Connor McDavid doesn't score a goal. They improve to 6-24-0 after last night's game against the Penguins, because he didn't score a goal in that game. He still has 18 total career points against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby. The Edmonton Oilers are back at it on Wednesday against the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis at 6 o'clock. That's going to be a fun game, a rematch from Saturday's game, which was a tightly contested game. Let's move into the defensive tiers for the Edmonton Oilers, as it's a little bit of a talking point, for the Edmonton Oilers, as we're going to tier out how the Edmonton Oilers defensemen have done so far this season in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partner over at Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product that I use literally every day. And I use it because I want to optimize my gut health. I want to really also use a supplement that tastes good. I don't want to take all these pills and go, oh, my body is healthy. AG1 only needs one scoop of AG1 in a glass of water once a day in the morning, whenever you can, really. And it's fantastic. What is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. And as I mentioned, you don't have to take all of those pills to get the vitamins, minerals, whole foods, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. You get that all in just one scoop of AG1. Plus, AG1 is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it is all okay for you. Plus, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, all while still tasting great. I don't understand how they do it. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's also cheaper than your cold brew addiction. Athletic Greens also has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements for you to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Alrighty, moving on to the defensive tiers for the Edmonton Oilers, as I did a little bit of a tier list for the Edmonton Oilers, my own tier list for the Edmonton Oilers defensemen. I put up 5 tiers for the Oilers here. I really only use 3 of them. I use top tier, decent tier, inconsistent tier, needs work tier, and not a great start tier. Those are the 3 or 5 tiers, excuse me, that the 7 Edmonton Oilers defensemen could fit into. I use the top tier, the inconsistent tier, and not a great start tier. We're going to start with the top tier. We're going to start off positive, and that has been the top pairing for the Edmonton Oilers so far this year, as they have been the most consistent. They jump into plays. They break up plays in their own end. Really great, again, on that transition, but also in the offensive zone as well. And that's Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. Cody Ceci, going into last night's game, had the best goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, something we spoke at nauseating length yesterday, but still a very important stat. And he continued that against the Pittsburgh Penguins as well last night. He, again, jumped into plays, jumped into odd man rushes as well. Really read the play very well for the Edmonton Oilers and Cody Ceci. And being that type of defenseman while also playing next to Darnell Nurse is a very impressive thing. The Edmonton Oilers have been trying to find the right defensive partner for Darnell Nurse ever since he got into the league, and now they finally have it. A consistent, I said a defensive defenseman about Cody Ceci. I would call him a defensive defenseman. But this season so far, and plus last season, he set a career high in points, and now he's out here just really consistently applying his trade to the offensive side of the game as well. Cody Ceci has really been the perfect fit for Darnell Nurse, and Darnell Nurse, vice versa, has also been a great fit for Cody Ceci. It seemed like last year when Cody Ceci came into the team, he was going to stay with Duncan Keith, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, that's the worst defensive pairing in the league. Well, Cody Ceci worked his way up to be the most consistent shutdown defenseman for the Oilers last season and has continued that this year. And Duncan Keith is quite honestly being missed on the back end for the Edmonton Oilers. That trust and you realize the experience, you realize now what Duncan Keith was bringing to the team. Look at a guy like Brett Kulak, who's been struggling, Evan Bouchard, who's been struggling. They don't have that guy in the locker room to look at or go to and go, what can I do to either find some more confidence, to play better? Am I playing better than I actually am and I don't know it? They don't have that, and they're missing that in Duncan Keith. But Cody Ceci has really kept his game going for the Edmonton Oilers so far this year. Now, next was the decent tier. I think I maybe harshly didn't put anybody in here, but I didn't put anybody in here because I have four Edmonton Oilers defensemen in the inconsistent tier. Marcus Niemelainen, Brett Kulak, Tyson Barrie, and Evan Bouchard are all in the Edmonton Oilers inconsistent tier for their defensemen. Evan Bouchard, I think, could be in the decent tier. Again, had his best game of the season against the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Much more tenacious with the puck, much more confident with the puck. He will obviously get into the decent tier if that continues. But that was the first time we've seen it from him so far this year. He was physical. He was great in his own end. But again, it was the first time we saw it. And we saw flashes of it at times during the season so far, but nothing concrete throughout a full 60 minutes, like you did against Pittsburgh last night. But again, that was only last night. That is why he's in the inconsistent tiers right now. Could go up to decent very soon and could be up to top by the end of the season, by even before that. Next, Brett Kulak hasn't had a great start to the season. And I didn't put him on not a great start because, I think he had a good game last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But still, not the greatest of plays. Like he said, he's been overthinking plays. Like that first goal against the St. Louis Blues, the last game, he tried to power it through, a very good forward. He couldn't hit the stick, left Jack Campbell out to dry, basically. And I don't want to say lost the game. The Oilers went on to lose 2-0. So technically, that was the game-winning goal. It was in like the first period or second period, whenever it was. But again, Brett Kulak hasn't made all of those smart plays, those two-way plays that everybody expected him to make this year. So right now I put him in the inconsistent. I think by the end of the season it will be in the decent tier, but got that contract, maybe a little bit of weight on his shoulders, a little bit in his head, but still a very good defenseman there. Let's go to Tyson Barrie, as I think his inconsistencies are consistent, if that makes sense. He makes mistakes, and everybody knows that. He's not the best defenseman in his own end, but you know what you're getting out of Tyson Barrie, an offensive defenseman, a guy who's going to go out there and contribute on your power play, move the puck well. You want to see more of a defensive aspect to his game now that the Edmonton Oilers are looking at that, like they lost guys again, like Duncan Keith, who was a defensive stalwart for the Oilers, a great puck mover as well, but did his best work in the Edmonton Oilers' own end. Tyson Barrie misses a guy like that because sometimes he was paired up with him, let him go out there and do his own thing, and then at the same time feel confident enough to go out there and play well in his own end and shut down plays from the opposition. Haven't seen that from Tyson Barrie so far. I think he's been quite tentative as well with his physicality, with his stick inside his own end, in putting it in shooting lanes and passing lanes. Just want to see more of Tyson Barrie. Sometimes you see him go out there and have a fantastic shift. No, sometimes you see him go out there and he's not doing so. So again, inconsistent here for him. Finally, I put in a Marcus Niemelainen. Ever since his call up, ever since his call up, he hasn't had a fantastic showing, but he's getting more minutes from Jay Woodcroft, and Jay Woodcroft has said every game since he has come up, he showed something different. He was on the penalty kill last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Edmonton Oilers. He did a great kill by Niemelainen, to be honest with you. He was notably physical, especially in that first period. But again, a couple of mistakes. He's technically a young defenseman. He's in the infancy of his NHL career, at least. So he's still learning that big game or the NHL game in general. I would say in one of the games, I believe it was against the Carolina Hurricanes, he got caught, ended up in the back of the Oilers' net. Don't want to say it was his fault, but he was out of position in the goal because he tried to step up and it got past him. You're going to get that with guys like Marcus Niemelainen, but the thing about Marcus Niemelainen is that he is smart enough. He knows when to throw those hits. He knows how to not get out of position. But sometimes it's still going to happen. You're not going to be perfect. I only have him in inconsistent because he is getting better game by game this season. It's just a matter of when he does just get consistent in those games. He will get up to the decent tier at some point this year, but he just needs to find that, again, consistency. The next tier that I had was needs work. There was too many players who I don't think needed work. They were just inconsistent. Maybe you could make an argument for Niemelainen, even maybe Bouchard. But I just think it's a matter of inconsistency rather than needing to work on anything. Maybe, again, Niemelainen, as I mentioned, does have that trying to figure out how to play the game, the NHL game still. But I still wouldn't put that in needs work. And the final tier for the Edmonton Oilers defenseman, I have not a great start. And that's Ryan Murray. And it's kind of ironic because Ryan Murray had a fantastic first game of the season. His start of his Edmonton Oilers career, which was about 10 years too late, but don't worry about that. We move. Was a great one. He was honestly probably the Edmonton Oilers' best defenseman. But since then, he hasn't. He hasn't had a lot of game time. He hasn't been trusted in a lot of high leverage situations. He has been trusted in situations where, honestly, you need a veteran out there. But not necessarily excelled. He's just been trusted. No, he does have an assist on the season against the Calgary Flames. But other than that, he just hasn't been great. He's been caught a couple of times. He's been outworked. He's been out of position. I can't remember. I think it was the St. Louis game. It might not have been. But this was Brett Kulak. Brett Kulak was caught just not catching anybody in front of the net, screening Campbell, and it ended up going into the back of the net. That's Kulak, not Murray, so I apologize for that. But again, Ryan Murray has not been fantastic. Merely invisible sometimes, I could say, too. Not great. So just to recap, the top tier for the Edmonton Oilers defensemen, Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. The inconsistent tier for the Oilers, Marcus Niemelainen, Brett Kulak, Tyson Barrie, and Evan Bouchard. And the not a great start tier, Ryan Murray. Maybe we'll revisit that halfway through the season. I just wanted to take a look at the Oilers defensemen after the first six games, because the first six games were all at home for the Oilers. Big, big games against massive, big competition too. Great competition, great teams. So that very important, I think, for us to take a look at that, because the Edmonton Oilers defense is really where the games are win and loss so far, or won and loss, excuse me. so far for the Edmonton Oilers. Speaking of wins and losses, the Edmonton Oilers got that win last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we will go through the good, the bad, and the ugly to wrap up our episode today. That'll come up in just a second. But first, I just want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysis that only Locked On experts can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, moving into the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we're going to start off with the good. Leon Draisaitl getting the good mark for last night's game. 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points. That goal, and it was maybe the best goal of the season for the Oilers so far. Maybe I'm missing one, but the nicest goal so far off the top of my head for the Edmonton Oilers. Just dancing, dipsy doodling around Brian Dumoulin. That doesn't happen too often either. Dumoulin's a fantastic defenseman, but Leon Draisaitl's an even better player. Also, he contributed 3 takeaways to the Edmonton Oilers 20 from last night's game. He really drove the bus for the Edmonton Oilers, especially after McDavid went down with that injury. He went up to that first line, technically that 1A line with Vander Kane and Kyler Yamamoto when McDavid went out. McDavid went out with Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman. And really changed the game from there. Leon Draisaitl with the good from last night's game. The bad from last night's game, and that is the number 2. 2-goal deficit for the Edmonton Oilers. They had 2 goals against in under 2 minutes in the first period. And the Edmonton Oilers went down by 2 minutes into that second period as Brian Rust again bounced it off Jack Campbell and into the net. But the Edmonton Oilers did overcome that 2-goal deficit in tonight's ugly, or last night's ugly, I should say. And that is the second period. That second period got ugly. She wasn't pretty for, the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Edmonton Oilers outshot those Penguins 26-4. As mentioned, that is a franchise record in a single period for the Edmonton Oilers, previously beating the 24 for the Edmonton Oilers that was held. Goals from Tyson Barrie, Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Leon Draisaitl. 3 points for Draisaitl in that period there as well. All 3 of his points coming in that period too. McDavid got injured in that period as well, which was not great. And a lot of Oilers fans holding their breath. But again, just the game was won and lost on the Penguins side in that second period. So to recap, the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The good being Leon Draisaitl, the bad being the number 2, and the ugly, that second period in general. The Edmonton Oilers won it right there. They had to have a gut check after that second period. They got together, as they mentioned in the post game, they got together, had a big chat, and they came out and had that game. That was a big game for the Edmonton Oilers, a big result for them there. As mentioned, the Edmonton Oilers are back at it on Wednesday against the St. Louis Blues. That is going to be a fun one. We're going to wrap it up here right away, but thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. For your next listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reaction, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcast. Let's wrap it up there as the Edmonton Oilers improve to 3-3 on the season, and they fly out to St. Louis for a big face-off against the St. Louis Blues once again for the second time this season on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, their first away game of the season. We will be right back here tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Oilers. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe. And thank goodness, because we can play La Bamba, baby.